Hey, everybody, it's night 5 of WrestleMania week. It's still going. Don't let anyone tell you different. We got one more night, the Raw after Mania. I have to say, the first hour, this was a great Raw. Then we got to the third hour, and I wanted to blow my brains out.
Really?
It just kind of dragged towards the end.
Okay, I can kind of see that.
I kind of feel they're saving some big... So this was this episode was a lot of table setting for like the next year, right?
Yeah, it's a reset show.
But I also feel like they want to save some surprises and some storylines for SmackDown, because that's like the A show. So I think they held back on some stuff. Like I think, for example, Bayley. I think Bayley's showing up on SmackDown.
Oh, you know what? I think you make a good point that they did hold some stuff back.
Definitely. I just, Roman, what Roman's next storyline? I thought they were going to like start Roman's new storyline tonight.
No, they did not.
They're going to wait till SmackDown. But you know, yeah, what? It was.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you watched Raw?
Probably January.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a while for me from watching Raw as well. And I actually, you know what? For the most part, I enjoyed tonight's show.
I mean, everything was like setting up something. Every segment was setting up something for the future. Huh? And so I'll give them credit. And this was the first Raw after Mania in front of a crowd since 2019. And I was there live for the 2019. And I remember the only big surprise in that one was fucking
it not being good. I remember it
Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan. Yeah. That was the only thing.
I think this is not the best Raw after Mania. Obviously,
but it's the best one in years.
It's the best one in years. That's the same thing I was thinking. I was like, I've seen better ones, but I don't remember a Raw after Mania being this enjoyable in years. So kudos to them, man. But you know, there's always a but we're gonna hear from the smart
cheats. But yeah, no, there was definitely the first hour was amazing. The first hour was so good. Like
the first hour was amazing.
I would have like stretched out. I would have had like Randy Orton the first hour, Ezekiel in the second hour, Fear in the third hour. They kind of like did all the big stuff right off the bat and then kind of let the show drift off. But it was almost like Saturday Night Live, but they had the worst sketches at the end.
That's you know what? Yeah, every once in a while, I don't know. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live actually in years, but when I
but that's kind of what they do. Like they just assume everyone falls asleep, so the last half hour is like just nonsense.
When I used to watch it Saturday Night Live, sometimes the craziest sketches used to be on late.
Yeah,
right.
Because I think they assume people fall asleep; they don't watch the whole thing. Jasmine, come here.
But sometimes some of the best sketches were super late because they were so far out there.
Yeah.
And I wish Raw would have done something like that, but let's get right into it, man. Raw is coming to us live from Dallas, Texas, and we start off with wrestling has more than one royal family. The lights go out, people are cheering, and I'm like, Raw, both Raw and SmackDown, they're usually like, there's no stage anymore. How are they going to do this? And they answered my question by making a half stage and a half
for Cody to do his rise.
So they fucking make a box, and as Cody is ascending, he gets stuck. It's only his head in a box, and he's just looking around like this. He's like, and then finally he starts going up. He's smirking because he knows it's funny, and he just comes out of his box. And right at that moment, I was like, the bloom is fucking already off. Stupid shit. He comes down, he's trying to fake milk it. He comes out into the ring and he's like, I can tell he's like waiting for chants, but the chants are like lukewarm. So he's like, Cooper, give me the chance.
Well, they did chant for him. He did get a pretty big reaction.
Yeah, but he was like milking the chants. You could tell he was milking the chants. And then he shows he's like stalling so fucking. It took 10 minutes for him to fucking speak. And then when he finally shows a picture of his dad and he starts doing this fucking fake crying bullshit. Dude, you know it was like fake crying. My dad's my hero. Believe it or not, this picture was on his mantle. I was like, dude, this is some fucking, I haven't seen worse fucking acting since Cora fucking Jay was selling that fucking leg.
Jesus, you didn't like that. You didn't like this at all, huh?
No, it was stupid. The fucking Seth Rollins saved this. He's been doing the same dopey shit in AEW.
What impresses me about this guy is that he is just doing the same shit he did in AEW. It's the same shit. That shit was just as bad.
Can I ask you a question? Did you think he was legit crying or did you think it was fake crying?
I think it was half and half. I think he was trying to force himself to cry more.
Yeah, it's fake crying.
I think it does get emotional. I just feel like this guy like writes his own, this guy just lives in his own storyline that just travels from like universe to universe, WWE. It's a good promo to set up the next year. I do think he's going to fight Roman Reigns.
Man, I was not into this promo. I think he was like forcing fans into chants and cheers.
I don't think he was forcing fans.
Seth Rollins comes out in this gimmick where he's now just like dancing a lot. He's cackling a lot. He comes out in strange outfits. I love it. It's fucking great. He comes out to the ring, faces off with Cody Rhodes. And they shake hands, and everybody cheered, and they both leave. Seth fucking saved this fucking segment.
I think it was better. It was way better than you give it credit.
Don't get me wrong. Remember, I'm a huge Cody Rhodes fan. You know that.
I think you're being really harsh. This was the same dumb shit he's been doing in AEW. I thought it was fine.
There was no fake crying in AEW.
Well, because now the storyline is I left AEW to achieve my dad's dream. I'm going to finally just achieve my dad's dream.
You know what? I would have loved it more if he didn't do this fucking stalling kind of, come on, guys, cheer for me shit in the beginning in the ring. And this fucking fake crying that he was doing.
They were chanting for him, though. I mean, they were chanting for him a lot. I mean, you can't say that they weren't.
If you watch it, you can see him trying to milk it.
I know, but they still did it. It would be one thing if they didn't chant. They still chanted. Like, the arena chanted for him.
But he could tell. Like, he got to the ring. He was stalling because he was waiting for these big chants that weren't coming. He was, like, milky. It was just, like, too much. Too much Cody Rhodes.
He wasn't seeing the rest of the show, so I don't know how you mean too much Cody Rhodes. I mean,
it was too much Cody Rhodes in the beginning. It was too much.
Okay,
too
he much had one fine, segment, bro. He just came back from AEW. I mean, I don't know what you wanted. What you want him to do?
It's simple. Don't fake cry. Don't do that fake crying bullshit. Don't do the fucking.
He's always gonna do that, dude. Dude, he was doing that. He did that. The first AEW show. He was, I need my brother. It was the worst.
I think that was legit.
No. See, you're out of your mind. That was faker than what happened today.
Are you kidding me?
That was so fake. I don't need a tag partner. I need my brother. That was fake. This is a little bit more real. Come on.
All right. This was not real to me. But anyway, all right. Let's move on.
Dude, you have to give this guy credit. I will. He literally is just taking the segments from AEW and putting them in WWE. No one has ever done that. No one. He's just in his own world, and Vince is letting him be in his own world on his show, which is wild. This felt like an AEW segment. Not a good one.
But number one, he's not the first person to take one gimmick from one company to another.
No, but everything, the feel, the way he's cutting his promo, it just felt very much like his AEW. All that was missing was Arn Anderson, which I bet you next week he comes waddling out with him.
That's fine. Wait, he comes what?
I bet you next week Arn Anderson shows up.
You know what? If Arn Anderson comes back, I would fucking love that. I would love that.
Well, Arn Anderson did a Q&A, and he said he's basically in limbo now. He shows up, and he was kind of being critical to AEW. Like, they don't give Brock anything.
He should. I have nothing against guys who are critical of AEW as long as it's creative.
How do you not? I think it's bullshit. Arn Anderson, like Cody leaves and you don't have anything for Arn Anderson to do. He's Arn Anderson. Like,
no, I agree. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm always okay with criticism as long as there's constructive criticism. Right. Yeah. Like, you go like,
oh, and he was saying sick. Like, yeah. he said like, my son is wrestling in dark. He goes, he can't get any reps in because there's no house shows. So he can't get better on his own. So
I would say to Arn Anderson, sorry, but your son's never going to get better. He could do a million house shows. He's still going to be a fucking cheap version of you. So tell him to wrap it up, because that's the thing. Nobody wants to see a cheap version of Arn Anderson. If he's going to be a cheap version of Arn Anderson, he's just fucking pack it up.
I think it'd be hilarious in a week or two. Arn Anderson's walking out with those fucking cards. I think that would be amazing. I mean, dude, he got his dog. He got his dog on the shirt. That's his dog on his new shirt.
Yeah.
He really just lives. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, to take gimmick from gimmick, but like Vince would tweak the gimmick to fit Vince. This is literally just AEW segments on WWE.
No, dude, I have nothing against him doing AEW segments on WWE TV. I actually want that. I want it to be exactly picked up and put in. But tonight, this segment just didn't work for me.
I like
it. That's all I'm saying, you know?
I liked it. Because it felt fresh. It felt different on this show.
It did feel fresh and different. It was a good way to start the show.
The other reason I like this segment is that everyone else feels like, even though he's being goofy, everyone else feels very fake and very like rehearsed. And this guy is just like, I want to win a title for my dad. And it's just like, it just feels like a different persona than what everyone else is doing on this show.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Do you think next week he's going to also get stuck once again coming up? Like,
yes, I think so. I think
that's Let me ask you a question. Do you think they did that to him on purpose? Just to fuck with him a little bit?
I think eventually he's going to wind up like Finn Balor is right now.
Yeah.
Like putting over.
Part of me was thinking, like, I wonder if they purposely just fucking stopped it a little bit just to just fuck with him a little bit. Right?
Just a little bit. I do think he's going to get the title, but I think the second the crowd kind of loses interest in him, he's going down the card.
You can't not give him the title. If you don't give him the title, you're basically missing out on a big storyline.
Somebody had an interesting point, because this was from Cody's media interviews, and I wish he said this in the ring tonight. He said, I had to fight Seth because Seth was Dusty called old kids in NXT my kid.
That was the media scrum, yeah.
And I'm Dusty's actual kid. I have this jealousy. And Roman Reigns had an interview today. He's like, the only person who got my promo style was Dusty.
Yes.
I said, I'm a billionaire. And I'm thinking to myself, like, the storyline could be he's going to take out all of Dusty's kids. And then the final Dusty kid is Roman Reigns.
Yeah. By the way, Cody Rhodes yesterday, before WrestleMania Night 2, did a media scrum where they had, you know, wrestling journalists ask him questions, and he answered all the questions, and they talked about AEW, Tony Khan, the Bucks, all that stuff, how he left WWE the first time, how it left really badly, his thing with Triple H, all that stuff. And it was a breath of fresh air. Because,
did you see he mentioned Triple H with a knowing way? Like, he's referencing destroying the throne on...
Yeah.
Yeah. He said even Triple H held the belt, and he was waiting for people to be like, oh, you mentioned Triple H. Like,
yeah. He if you look at the media scrum, he talks very positively about Triple H, you know, and I actually believe him. I actually believe
he said that's his favorite wrestler, and I believe him because he wrestles like Triple H.
Yeah, but and what I'm trying to say is I think they should do more of these media scrums because
they're doing
the power away from the dirt sheets.
They're doing a very different approach with this guy that they've never done with anyone else. With the Variety in article, the media scrums, they're treating him like they treat him like a sports team would treat a guy who just got signed over. You know what I'm saying?
Like a big acquisition. Yes,
definitely. Yeah, they're letting him do his thing. And it's very, very, it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
I hope it leads to more them allowing other superstars to do this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's very interesting. It would make them feel like a bigger deal, you know?
Yeah. And I like where it's going so far. I like where it's going. The one thing about this role, I felt very chaotic, which was nice. This felt, even though, like, it just was, like, it's just different. Like, Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, they're fine, but they just talk in catchphrases. This guy is just, like, I read books. He's just like, he's goofy, he's goofy. That's the thing about Cody, is that he's just this goofy kid.
He's a nerd.
But it's like, it's more real to me, and it's like more refreshing to watch than I'm in God mode, which is what we're gonna have to fucking hear now for like 30 fucking weeks with Roman Reigns. It's so like, it's gonna be interesting, the promos, like, you may be like him being like, Dusty believed in you, he didn't believe in me, and I have these issues, and I went to AEW. Like, just this fucking guy, just like,
you like, know what's, you know what's so interesting? When he was in AEW, I was like, remember I even rated him as like, he's like the wrestler of the year that one year. Because I said, you know, so many people he made that year and all, and you hated him. There was points where you hated Cody.
Yeah,
now that he's in WWE, you fucking love him.
No, no, because it's different. But yeah. Also because I hate to use this term, he controlled his own narrative. He's carrying on this weird storyline he's been doing since he left WWE, and he's back in WWE doing it. It's different.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I love Cody.
I just feel like it's not. It was kind of corny. Like, I don't know. This is just something of AEW that was like, he seemed more focused now.
Yeah, I love Cody, and I can't wait to see what else he's going to do. Just stop the fake crying, okay? Let's go to match number one. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Sasha Banks and Naomi. Sasha, I did not watch night two of WrestleMania, but Sasha Banks.
This match wasn't good. I mean, the match on Sunday.
Her green-blue hair is fantastic. It looks delicious. It looks like candy to me. Okay, this match was not candy. This match was all sorts of terrible. It's like both teams were trying to do these like double team moves, but they're both like fucking it up. You know, it ends with Sasha and Naomi doing like a tumble big rig that looked like shit. Mm-hmm. And after Sasha and Naomi wins, Rhea Ripley is sad that they lost. She leaves her tag partner in the ring. Boo hoo. What'd you think of this?
I hear what you're saying. I liked it because it's building the Edge storyline. And people.
Explain that for people.
Sean Ross Sapp reported that Rhea Ripley and Tabasco Champion are going to be the other members of Edge's group.
With Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. If you didn't tell me that, it looks like a split from Rhea Ripley and obviously Liv Morgan, right? But knowing that this is still good, it's in the right direction. But
it's building like whatever this group that Edge is building, and Edge's promo later was like kind of unfocused. I like the fact that if you don't know that this is unconnected, but it's going to connect. I like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That Rhea Ripley I think it's going to be true.
Yeah.
Or she's definitely turning heel.
Yeah, but this match, as far as wrestling goes, was pretty much...
No, fun. I know, but what I'm saying is it's going to lead to something, which is what I'm fucking about.
Yeah. Kevin Owens comes out. I like the way... By the way, while Rhea's walking out back to the back, Kevin Owens comes in and they fucking change looks. I love when they do shit like that. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens comes out and he starts running down Steve Austin and fucking Dallas, Texas. All of a sudden, this music hits. And this fucking Tron, it says Ezekiel.
I thought it was Big Zeke. I thought it was the guy from...
I thought it was Ezekiel Jackson.
They re-signed him for whatever. And then a white guy walks out.
Ezekiel Jackson's back. But no, it's a white guy. And he's in your typical, like, trunks. And he's got long hair, clean-shaven face. And as he's walking, you start going like, this guy looks familiar. And then you realize who it is. He gets into the ring. Kevin Owens looks up and he goes... Elias? Everyone starts laughing. Ezekiel goes, no, I'm actually Elias' younger brother. He won't drop it. Kevin Owens gets mad and annoyed. He gives him a count of 10. He doesn't leave, so Kevin Owens just leaves. This, to me, was funny.
Yeah.
It was just funny. He's like, no, I'm Elias' younger brother, Ezekiel. It's so stupid. Where are they going with this?
I don't know, but it's so stupid that I like it.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it. It's so dumb. I like it.
He first of all, he looks bizarre without his hair.
Yeah, without his beard.
Without his beard, he looks like a sitcom actor. Like, it's really weird. But I like that Ezekiel. I like that Elias had like a breakdown or something. I don't know. It's really. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Owens like immediately shitting on it. Like, yes. No, you're Elias. You're Elias.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Kevin Owens like, I don't know. I this is another thing I like. I think this might go someplace really funny.
You know what this kind of reminded me of? Santino and Santina.
Yes.
But in as stupid as that was, it was funny to me. And it was funny to a lot of people, and
this was at first when he walked out, I'm like, that's Elias, but why do they call him Ezekiel? And then the minute Kevin Owens immediately shit on it.
Yes.
And Ezekiel's like, no, I'm Ezekiel, I'm his brother, but he's like so unconvincing. I was like, oh, this could be really fun.
Yeah, this could be really fun. Yeah, yeah. I liked it a lot too. Mm-hmm. Match number two, Miz versus Dominic Mysterio. Miz just beats the shit out of this guy, hits the skull crushing finale for the squash victory. Mm-hmm. As soon as that's over, Veer Mahan.
Veer shows up. Veer Mahan
finally shows up. He goes into the ring. Miz sees this and fucking just books out of the ring. Mysterios are stupid, so they stay in the ring. And Veer Mahan fucking clotheslines Rey Mysterio, fucking starts beating the shit out of Dominic, and does this stretch on Dominic that looks kind of like a single arm camel clutch. And Dominic, to his credit, does the best selling I've ever seen him do since.
Yeah, he does.
That really was some good selling by Dominic, because Dominic normally doesn't sell for shit. I like this. I like that Dominic got squashed, and I like that Veer look strong at beating the shit out of Mysterio. I liked it.
Yeah, I would have had Veer also beat up The Miz too.
Yeah, I would have too, but
I would have had him beat up all three guys.
Yeah, this felt like they were trying to, I don't know what it was trying to do.
I mean, it felt really very much like Lars Sullivan's debut where he just beats the shit up. But I like Veer more than Lars.
Yeah, and what I liked about, you know what, I feel like they're trying to make Miz back into a big deal again, right?
That's over.
They should, though. He's very talented. I'm glad he squashed Dominic. Mm. And you know what's good about Veer? He can speak English pretty well.
They're going to make him a big deal. Then he's going to lose to Logan Paul at SummerSlam.
Who, Veer?
No, Miz.
I know, they probably
they're going to build Miz up so he can get beat up by Logan Paul. Then he's going to become a loser. Yeah,
that's too bad, but because they should build Miz up because he's very talented.
Yeah, that way it looks more impressive for Logan Paul to have the Pope beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I like, again, every segment here is like bringing in a new element.
Yes.
Whether you like, and absolutely, to me, like, I didn't give a shit the Rhea Ripley match wasn't good, because all it is moving a story forward.
Yeah.
Everything's
we're four segments in.
But they're moving stories forward. So I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. All four segments moving pieces. Absolutely. At the start of the second hour, we got Bianca Belair, who is now the new Raw Women's Champion. She's cutting a promo. She fucking picks up her glasses, and you see her fucking one eye. I got smashed to smithereens, all closed up. And she's talking about how, you don't appreciate something until you lose something. And you got to work hard for it, blah, 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 blah. I cannot really tell you what else this promo was about. It was not. I was expecting something to happen, but nothing happened.
Nothing. I think they don't know where they're going with Bianca yet. I think with Bianca and Roman, they don't know really where they're going. So they just had them come out to cut I did it promo.
Yes.
Right. So just to like, yeah, I don't think they know where they're going. I thought Bayley was going to walk out or Asuka. They didn't do anything.
Where would you go next with Belair?
Asuka.
Asuka next? Oh, okay. That's actually pretty good.
I have Bayley show up on SmackDown and either fight Ronda or Charlotte.
Is Asuka ready to come back?
I don't know, but if she is, that would be my, I would get like three pay-per-views out of her and Bianca.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. We get a great Braun Breaker video package to introduce the Raw audience to him. You see, AEW, this is what you do. When you're bringing in somebody new.
Yeah, don't assume anyone watches NXT. WWE assumes no one watches NXT.
Exactly. Don't assume everybody watches NXT, even though it's already on fucking TV. You fucking put it the best fucking video package you can of this person to just to let audiences know who this motherfucker is And we go straight into our third match, Dolph Ziggler versus Bron Breakker in an NXT championship match. I believe this is the first time the NXT championship is defended on Raw or SmackDown. And just a typical match. They do a lot of callbacks to their match from Stand and Deliver. But ultimately, Bron Breakker hits his Gorilla Press Power Slam finisher on Dolph Ziggler for the clean victory. Bron is now your NXT champion. What did you think of this? Where's this going?
I don't know why they had. First of all, the crowd at Raw didn't care, and
yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't.
They cared at Stand and Deliver. I don't know why you had Dolph beat him at Stand and Deliver and then have him win the title on Raw. Maybe they thought we want more people to see you win the belt.
That's what I was thinking.
I just think this was stupid. I'm fine with him winning. But he should have just won at the pay-per-view. There was no reason, or the premium live event. There was just no reason to beat him. There was just no reason to beat him. You know, like, dude, you're trying to make this guy Goldberg. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, unless they're not.
This is Braun's second appearance on Raw, right? Mm-hmm. And so now he's a champion again. What is this? Is
he gonna be on both shows? Can I tell you? I was like texting somebody. And when I looked up, it was the next segment. And I'm like, wait, did Braun win? And I had to go look on the internet because they didn't even make it a big deal. They just let Braun win and they just moved on.
Yes, I wonder what's happening. Is he going to stay on NXT now? Or?
Well, he's the champ unless he loses it tomorrow night. So he looks like a complete fucking... I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
I wonder, but you know what? Did they do this so that they go like, hey guys, this is the NXT champion. You should watch NXT tomorrow night. Maybe they did it like that.
But they should have had a thing where, like, they should have had a thing in the back where they interview him. He's like, tomorrow night, I'm going to announce my next challengers. I don't know. Like, it was weird. I don't know why they did this on Raw.
Yeah. Now comes actually one of a pretty fun segment as well. MVP comes out. Brings out Bobby Lashley, who comes out to a good size pop, and he's a baby face and almost comes out, almost looks fucking tired as fuck. Like, he's got beady little eyes, as Austin would say. He comes in and he's like facing off against Lashley. MVP tries to move out of the way, and boom, he hits Lashley in the back with a microphone. And he starts beating up Lashley. He goes, You don't need me. And he starts having fucking almost beat the shit out of him. So audience is booing, everybody. This was a heel turn that nobody saw coming. And looks like MVP is now lined up with Omos, and they beat the shit out of Lashley. I like the segment. I did not see it coming. I really didn't see it coming.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. I thought they were gonna have Omos beat the shit out of both guys, right?
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, like just make both of them like idiots. And then when MVP turned on him. This is, look, if you're not going to give up on Omos, and they really should, bro, that match last night was horrendous. It was horrendous. It was by far the worst match of the weekend.
They don't want to give up on Omos.
Ziggy Dice had a better match on Impact than.
You know, like when they were beating up Lashley, it was almost like they would just hit him. And then he would look at MVP and MVP was like, hit him again.
MVP's like actually coaching him on. Also, I like the fact that MVP is actually hitting people again, so he must be better.
Yeah. Almost
needs MVP. Lashley kind of doesn't need him anymore.
You're right.
Needs him. If they're going to get anything out of Almost, MVP's the guy. I don't think MVP's going to do it either. I think Almost is a failure, and they need to move on. They need to move on, but they're not. But if you're not, this is as good as any. Get putting him with this guy.
Yeah, this is – putting MVP on with Almost is like you're giving it the good college try, but I agree with you. I don't think it's gonna work. Is there anybody in wrestling who can save this guy?
No. No. The only thing I could see them doing is if he never wrestles and he's with like Chris Jericho and he's Chris Jericho's bodyguard.
Oh, like a Jake Hager.
Or like a Ralphus or something, yeah. That's the only thing I could put. Maybe put Austin Theory and have him be Austin Theory's bodyguard, and McMahon like barks orders at him. That's the only thing I could. But he can never wrestle.
I don't know why that was really funny to me. I haven't thought about Ralphus in such a long time.
Yeah, I just, the only thing I could just see him be just being a bodyguard for someone who is kind of, or MJF. Like, he'd be good as Wardlow's replacement.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I would only want it with Jericho or MJF for, like, a few months, and then someone just destroys him. We never see him again. Like, yeah. I don't know why they think they can make anything out of him, but it's a wrap.
He's really tall.
I get it, dude, but, like, I don't even know who can have a good match out. I don't think Cody could pull a good match out of him. I don't think Seth. I don't think Roman. I don't think fucking who else is a top? Edge. There's no top. What top guy are you going to put him with eventually where you're going to get a good match out of? No one.
I know one guy.
Who?
Lesnar.
No. I would just have Lesnar suplex him over and over again.
And it's going to be a good match because it's going to be – it's visually, it's going to be amazing, you know?
Somebody said they're only keeping him around so in Gable Stevenson's debut match he can, like, destroy him and then they retire him. That's what I heard.
Gable Stevenson's going to retire almost?
Like, yeah, like beat him, like send him packing. Yeah, that's why they're keeping him around.
It must suck to be almost right now. You know, because he's, like...
Dude, that match wasn't like nowadays bad. It was like 80s bad. It was like something you'd see... If they had WrestleMania in 1979, that's like one of the matches that you would have
seen. It was like if like Ralphus wrestled.
It was so bad, dude. It was beyond the worst match of the weekend. It was bad. It was like embarrassing. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. How do you have all these people putting on these amazing performances, whether it's Logan Paul, whether it's fucking Bianca Belair, whether it's fucking Johnny Knoxville, and this fucking guy is just, he looks like he belongs in an indie show. It's fucking embarrassing, but
you know he knows all this.
Yeah, he shouldn't be doing this. He should go fucking do something else. He's terrible.
Yeah.
It's over. He's never going to, I can tell you right, he's never going to get good. He's never going to be good. But you know what, though? This was a step in the right direction. I was like, all right, this could lead to something.
Yeah. So Rhea Ripley's in the back. Liv Morgan comes up and she's like, hey, I was looking all over for you. Where have you been? And Rhea's like, yo, I was talking to Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, and I got us a rematch for the tag team titles next week. And Liv's like, oh, that really makes up for you being like leaving me in the ring. And they hug.
Dumb bitch, yeah.
When we do these backstage segments, can we have the fucking boom mics queued up, please? Because, you know, I could not fucking hear what Liv Morgan said in the beginning. And you know what? Here's the thing. WWE is not the only company who has this problem. I've seen AEW have this problem. I've seen Impact have this problem. Like, I get you guys want to shoot it live, but can you guys have the, if you know you're doing this fucking segment, why can't you guys have the mics queued up? I don't understand why they can't do that shit. It's so fucking annoying. It's amateur. It's very amateur. And it's like, then don't do these segments live if you guys are going to do, like, this is some amateur shit. You never see this shit on real TV shows, you know, where the fucking mic's not queued up.
Yeah, know? I know. This was fine.
Yeah, it's fine, but just fucking have the mics queued up backstage. I mean, you guys are supposed to be, we're competing against real television shows. Then fucking act like it.
Really angry about something I didn't even pay attention to, so.
I just get annoyed at shit like that, you know?
Okay,
it's just cool. Fucking, it's unprofessional. Right. Carmella comes out, and then Queen Zelina Vega comes out, and before they announce their opponents, Zelina grabs the mic and she starts arguing with Carmella, saying like, oh, you know, your husband's good looking, I want him. So they start fighting, and then Corey Graves and Carmella start making out. It was a stupid segment, but it's leading somewhere. I don't know what it's leading to, but it's leading to something. What the fuck is this leading to?
Carmella and Corey.
They're getting married, right?
Yeah, this week. This week? I think Corey's going to wrestle again.
I think that's a possibility. Yeah.
He said apparently he got cleared by the same doctor who cleared Daniel Bryan or Edge. And this was months ago. And he said he wanted to get back in the ring. And I think rather than just have him fucking in the ring, I think that this Carmella stuff and now Zelina Vega, I think it's going to lead to him getting in the ring.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a mixed tag. Who would, like, I feel like it's going to be Carmella and Corey versus Zelina and somebody. Who would that be?
I would say Aleister Black because that's her real husband, but yeah. They're apparently pretending that she's not married because she was hitting on fucking Corey Graves in the segment.
Yeah, she was hitting on Corey Graves.
Yeah, which to me is like so annoying. Like, you acknowledge that Corey, like, we're not like they didn't acknowledge for years that those two are fucking. Now they're acknowledging it because we all know. But so we're gonna acknowledge this real life couple. But you have to pretend that Zelina's not married to Aleister Black. Like, no, we all know. Like, you can't be like you all know this, but please pretend you don't know this. You know, give what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
no, of course, that's the stupidity of WB sometimes.
Yeah, but I think Carmella's gonna be his manager and he's gonna be wrestler again. That's what I think.
You know what? I'm okay with that. Depending on how he is in the ring, he is. It's been a very, very long time. Would have been 10 years.
Yeah, he was or 8 years. I remember the first time I ever saw him. He was on like the WrestleMania 30 pre-show panel or something. I never because I didn't watch NXT, so I didn't see this guy until.
That's a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been at least 8 years. Yeah.
All right. Austin Theory's in the back, and Usos come out and they start fucking making fun of him about, oh, you lost to Pat McAfee. You're a fool. They start making fun of him.
Dude, I can't stand the Usos.
And then all of a sudden, Austin Theory starts talking street. He's like, yo, A-Town down. Riddle, I'll show you. And I'm like, the Usos are like smiling. I'm like, what the fuck was this about? Why are the Usos with Austin Theory now all of a sudden? And it leads to our next match. Start of the final hour, we have Usos and Austin Theory versus RK-Bro and everyone's favorite jobber, Finn Balor. This match is pretty good. I like this match. This is a good, you know what, say what you will, WWE, I think, puts on very, very good six-man tags. And it ends with Austin Theory hitting the ATL on Finn Balor. Once again, for the victory. This is like, man, Finn Balor, what's going on there?
They're using him to get over Austin Theory. You know, it's so funny because Randy Orton was just lying there like an idiot after the match and Austin Theory. And I'm like, and then I realized Austin Theory is now Randy Orton. What Randy Orton was in 2003, 2004 is now Austin Theory. And Randy Orton is Mick Foley. You know what I'm saying?
That's okay. Like, but that's okay.
But that's fine because he's in his 40s. But the circle has come around, and it's to me like those days feel like yesterday when he was like the young kid on the block and cocky. But Austin Theory is now, and he's probably gonna get that push. They are all in on Austin Theory. They're all in. Yeah, they're not stopping. And I think Finn looks great, but he's older. I think they're gonna use Finn to get over people like Austin Theory and Gable Stevenson. I don't know why.
I think Austin Theory. He's got a good look. He wrestles well. He can go on the mic. I'm all for him being the next guy. Definitely. Mm-hmm. We get Edge comes out in his new gimmick suit, looking fancy. He brings out Damian Priest, who's also in a full black suit. They both look great.
Yeah, shitting all over. I like the new song too, in the Titan with the wings.
Oh yeah, with the, what is that, like an eagle or some purple bird? It looks, you know, visually Edge's new gimmick looks great until he starts talking about the fans. But that's his whole gimmick. This whole gimmick is you forget F you fans. It's kind of stupid, but visually it looks great. And then AJ Styles comes out. He starts to beat up Edge, but it's 2-on-1. So Edge is getting his ass kicked. They're about to hit the concerto when Jamie Noble and, you know, regular Daivari come out and they fucking save him. And there's a brief Jamie Noble chant. I like this group's visual. I like the black suits.
Yeah, I do too. I kind of hope when Tabasco – I listen, if they put Tabasco Champion in a suit and Rhea Ripley in some kind of sexy, like, dress, I think this could be a really cool-looking group.
You know,
what?
Tabasco Champion is going to look mad fucking small standing with these three people.
I know, but I think you give him the right suit, he'll look like he'll look cool. He'll yeah. he has like this kind of this he has the look that would complement these two guys.
Because Rhea's really tall, Priest is really tall, Edge is really tall. He's gonna stand out.
Well, maybe give him someone else who's also small.
Okay. I mean, I'm all for them putting champion in the group, but man, I just thinking about it, like when you see them lined up, it's gonna look weird.
Maybe get somebody from the UK over to team. Like there's a couple of guys who look kind of like maybe what's his name? Trent Seven. Put him in a suit and have him with Tabasco champion.
Yeah. It's like a fat one in the group.
And just call him Seven.
You know what they should do? They should make Tabasco champion stand in the ring and the rest of them could be in that Cody Rhodes like thing, the box.
Yeah. I think they're gonna do he's gonna be the pit bull of the group, like they're doing with fucking Butch. So
you know what? I'll be okay with that. Yeah, like the pit bull of the group. Yeah, that's actually a good idea. Yeah, that
was cool. I think they should just go ahead and call it the Brood. He's just called the Brood again. Like this is the Brood.
You know what? If they called it the Brood, I would be 100% okay with that.
Yeah.
You know what they shouldn't call it? They shouldn't call it the new brood. I'll tell you that. Anytime you
put was already a new brood. So this would have to be the new brood.
Only a new brood, yeah. But when you put brood. The word new in front of something, it fucking stinks.
No, just call it the brood.
Just call it the brood, yeah. I agree. Just call it the brood, yeah.
Yeah. I also think I do like this idea of like Edge being this elder statesman who now is a team of younger guys and girls. Yeah, that he's like teaching to become like opportunity. Like I like that idea that he's like the godfather. You know what I mean? Like I that's a good use of him.
This is what they need to do with the Hardy Boys in AEW. Like you first bring him out as old Edge, right? Just for the nostalgia factor, but you have to reinvent yourself. You have to.
Well, yeah. Well, Matt Hardy, by the way, this almost feels like the Hardy storyline, but Edge is just way better. Once again, Edge is better at Matt Hardy. He's a better wrestler. He's better fucking Lita. He's better. He probably was. He's better at doing, because this is like kind of like the House Hardy thing, but that he came across so low budget in indie Matt Hardy with the big money match shit. This is almost like that, but so much better.
Yeah. Visually, this is great. Yeah. Yeah.
You know who I would put with them? Do you know who I would put with them? Viking Raiders.
With Edge's group?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Now you're putting a lot of people in the group, though.
Yeah. I think, like, yeah, make it like Edge has an army. Yo, dude, Tabasco champion, Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, and the Viking Raiders. That's a fucking army.
Yeah, maybe change the fucking Viking Raiders names as well.
Yeah, I would change their name to, like, I don't know.
I would just change it back to Hanson and Raymond Rowe, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, let's go back to that. Visually, this looks. I'm happy for Edge. I can't wait to see what they do because I love this reinvention. Match number 5. This will be our final match of the night. It is a Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. As soon as they start, Adam Pearce comes out, and he's like, "All right, this is a Texas Tornado match." I mean, everybody in at the same time. A lot of the crazy hijinks. Ultimately, they set up a table in the ring, and what's his fucking. Montez Ford hits the From the Heavens splash with a piece of the turnbuckle hanging from his ass and smashes through Chad Gable that is laid on top of a table for the victory. Street Profits win. I like this. It was fun. No more Pat Buck. We should talk about that, right?
I'll tell you what. I don't usually agree with JD from New York, but I agree with him. Both matches he produced were fucking garbage this weekend. He produced the Ronda Rousey match, and he produced the Roman Reigns match. Both matches stunk. They weren't good. The more I think about that Ronda Rousey match, the more I don't like it. The Roman Reigns match was a terrible main event. For the hype it got, it was 12 minutes. It was bad. It wasn't as bad as the one from 34. That match is an abomination. I don't know if you remember that one where Brock hit like 19 fucking F5s and pinned him. Brock Roman at 34.
No, I remember that. I remember it being bad.
Yeah. But it just wasn't good. It had no like, so yes. Yeah, so dude, when you fucking produce two stinkers like that, then you need to go. So good riddance. If that's his work, he's got to go. Fuck him.
I wonder if like
he, if I was Vince, I would have berated this guy. Like, that's what you put together. I literally promoted this match as the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. They literally had the stupid fucking announcer. The following match is the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. And it stunk. They got outworked by Johnny Knoxville. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like a Raw match, bro. It stunk. So if that was what this guy came up with, hit the fucking bricks. Go back to fucking do shit with Brian Myers. It fucking was garbage. I can't believe they gave this match to that guy.
You know what was like kind of surprising is how he announced he's leaving. He left like a day after.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder, according to it, he said like, oh, he left because like, you know, the schedule, I want to be with my family. I'm like, I don't know about that. That sounds like something you just write so that you don't go like, dude, I got chewed out. They wanted me to leave. They said, you have a choice. We can fire you or you can leave on your own terms. And I think it was kind of like, I'm going to leave my own terms. Because it's
that Roman match was not good. It was not good at all. And he had a great match with Seth. He had a great match with Big E. He's been having pretty good matches, Roman. This match was not it. And I mean, the buildup these two had, this should have been their best match.
But don't worry, we'll see Pat Buck at WrestlePro at Rahway, New Jersey.
Yeah, good, yeah.
Is that where we normally see it? Rahway, New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Rahway, New Jersey.
Yeah, isn't he like part of one of the owners of WrestlePro?
He owns it. That's his company. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. Now he can fucking produce that. Yeah. Good. I guarantee you they said something to him because that was not a good main event.
Yeah, I guarantee you they said something to him. Yeah, I believe that.
I mean, it wasn't gonna be the way they kept building it, like this is the greatest match in the history of WrestleMania. We already knew it wasn't gonna be good. But it was like not even like it, like, oh, that was enjoyable. It was just like, oh, this is like just dumb shit. Dude, every Brock Lesnar match now just goes from 0 to 60 right away. And all it is like finisher spams. It's like somebody playing a video game.
It's like John Cena's matches.
Cena had better matches.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think Lesnar's are going to do now? Just fade away for a little bit?
No, I bet you he shows up on SmackDown.
For Roman Reigns again? Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Roman Reigns, this is their final segment. The Bloodline comes out with all the belts. By the way, I think Bloodline is Blade's daughter's name, right? In Marvel Comics right now?
Oh, it is? Maybe she'll show up.
That's a badass name for fucking his girl, his daughter. Roman Reigns comes out with a fucking shirt, with a God mode shirt on. It says, I forget what it stands for. God mode.
Greatness on a different level. Which wouldn't that be God level? Wouldn't that be G-O-D-L mode?
Yeah, G-O-D L mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
God
level mode.
There is a moment where Roman has to fucking hold up both belts, and it looked like he was wincing a little bit because of his left arm, and he needed to acknowledge that. And what's his fucking name? Paul Heyman basically cuts a promo about this guy breaks all sorts of box offices. People are in line with it though. Like, he's not exactly getting booed, right? People are like,
yeah, they like, they're enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Roman basically ends with Roman saying, I'm gonna announce my next step, because we have to keep moving. I'm gonna announce my next step on Friday on SmackDown. And that's how they end the show. Very, very lackluster way of ending the show.
Yeah, they just wanted him on the show. I did not like this. I would have started with this and then with Cody and Seth.
That's what I was thinking. You know what I would have done? Like, not start the show with Cody, but have this fucking come out at the end or something like that.
Well, I think I know why they started with Cody. So, breaking news, after the taping, Cody fought Kevin Owens in a dark match.
Okay.
Yeah, and
you gotta send the kids' friends home happy.
Rhodes defeated Owens with the crossroads. Then after the match, Cody took the mic and thanked the crowd for letting him back into their house. He said he loved pro wrestling and pro wrestling fans with all of his heart. He finished a promo pointing out his little cousin, said it was the godson of Dusty Rhodes, and said he was family and everyone in this building is my family. And the crowd went wild. He's kind of being put in the John Cena position right off the bat. Like, he's doing the dark match to send people home happy, which is what Cena used to do. And they're going all in with him. I mean, he's saying
they should, though. They absolutely.
That's great. Should. No, he's saying, well, you know, he's saying good evening and he's saying good night, which is what Cena would do all the time. So they're Vince believes in him.
I believe in him. Just
you know who doesn't believe in him? Tony. You know who doesn't believe in him? Tony Khan.
Yeah, Tony Khan doesn't believe in him. Absolutely. You know what though? Tony Khan believes in things like Danhausen and
Tony Khan
Daniel Garcia.
By the way,
Judas, so you know,
very interesting statement. Cody has said, "I there was no one left in AEW I wanted to wrestle. I wrestled everyone I wanted to wrestle." He never wrestled CM Punk. Maybe he didn't like CM Punk.
Did you? There's a lot of people who don't like CM Punk.
I don't like CM Punk.
And did you ever listen to? I think they were doing some kind of like Talk is Jericho episode at a con or on the boat. And it was Cody and Jericho. You guys can Google this yourself and find it out. But Cody was talking about like, you know, I never wanted to say like I'm the locker room leader because, you know, when I was in WWE, there was a guy who would just walk around telling, say that he was a locker room leader. And then Jericho goes, it was CM Punk. And Cody goes, I was trying not to say the name, but okay. Everyone starts laughing. And they talk about how when CM Punk was there, he was a dick. He used to go around calling himself the locker room leader. And Cody's, when the point of that story that Cody was talking about was that they were in the locker room and Cody was saying like, guys, as a locker room leader, you guys should all clean up after yourselves in the locker room. And he said, Booker T just looked at him, picked up a piece of garbage and just threw it on the fucking
ground. I remember hearing that story. Yes.
So if you're telling me that Cody Rhodes probably does not like CM Punk, I 100% believe that.
Yeah. It's funny because Roman is a lot. I was hearing an interview with Aleister Black, and Roman is a locker room leader. Aleister Black, his first day there, he did a dark match. He cleaned up the locker room. And Roman pulled him aside and said, did anyone tell you to do that? And he's like, no, I just thought it was the right place to do it. He goes, you didn't have to do that. You were only here for a dark match, but I appreciate it. And when you come here, if anyone hazes you, you let me know. I have your back. And Aleister Black was like, that guy's a locker room leader. So Roman has become the locker room leader, but he treats people with respect. He doesn't boss them around. I think CM Punk does the manager and bosses people around.
During that thing, if you guys ever get a chance to re-listen to what Cody was saying, he said the locker room leader is usually the guy who doesn't call himself the locker room.
Yeah, everyone calls Roman the locker room leader.
Yeah. If you're the locker room leader, whoever calls himself the locker room leader is not the locker room leader, and the locker room leader is the person that everyone will call.
I think Cody realized around December, January, that this guy just used me to get to Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. Like, he used me to get to the guys he really wanted. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about Tony Khan.
That's possible, yeah.
And I think when he realized that, I think he was like, he also said, I don't want to be in management again, which I don't blame him. You know, like, getting shit when they were having shows, and I was one of them giving him shit. I was giving him shit, and other people were giving him shit that they were having shows during the pandemic. And I look back, it's like, that was Tony Khan's call. It wasn't his call. But people thought it was his call. People thought a lot of things there were his call.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was making a good point. It was like saying, like, dude, when you're a manager, you get blamed for shit that's not your fault, you know? You know what's a good example of that? Do you remember when Ric Flair was doing his Hall of Fame speech and Triple H would come over and, like, tell him, like, dude, you got to wrap it up?
Yeah.
And people are, like, booing Triple H. But Triple H is like, dude, it's not my call. Like, he's just like, dude, it's not my call. I'm being told to do that. And that's what management is. You know, you're the fall guy for decisions that aren't your decisions. And I don't blame Cody. At the end of the day, Cody wants to be a wrestler. He doesn't want to be managed, you know? Yeah. And I think in the media scrum or in the interview in Variety, he said, being an executive vice president is fun for a minute, right? And then the rest of it's like, dude, I don't want to do this shit, you know?
Yeah, right. And then he was getting, and also Tony, like people used to say this is Cody Rhodes' company. A lot of my friends who don't really like follow wrestling. Like, how's Cody's company? You know what I mean? Absolutely. And it wasn't his company. And it wasn't. People and Tony Khan kind of allowed people to think that Cody had a lot of say while Tony was doing everything and also dismissing Cody's ideas. So I don't blame Cody. I really don't blame Cody for leaving. I really don't.
No, I don't. You know, the thing is there anybody who's blaming Cody for leaving?
Yeah, yeah, no? AEW fans. Yeah.
Oh, they're fucking stupid, dude. They're fucking stupid.
They're calling turncoat and shit. It's like, yeah. What do you want them to do? What do you want? He even said, what am I going to do, win the TNT belt 47 times?
Yeah. They're, you know, like, Cody Rhodes, if you listen to him, though, he has no hard feelings for AEW.
Yeah, he says that. What is he going to do? Say, fuck AEW? Like, you know, he's playing his cards to the vest in case Vince turns off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, like, you know, the best of luck with everybody because,
you know, I think Cody said it's hard for me to trust people. It's probably because he thought Tony Khan was going to be one way and turned out to be the other. But he also knows Vince may be, you know, sucking my dick right now. But a month from now, 2 months from now, I might be losing to Austin Theory. So Cody's also played his cards to the vest in case he has to go back to Tony Khan.
Exactly, yeah, which is a smart thing to do. An absolutely smart thing to do.
Because in a year or two, if he does go back to Tony Khan, he's going to get a fucking hero's return. Yeah. And he's going to promo, I really always wanted to be here, but I thought I had to pursue my dad's dream. But my dream is to be here and challenge you, Kenny Omega. Like, oh, we're going to tear the house down, and I'm back with the Elite. Like, all this fuck, yeah.
Right next to that picture of my dad holding that championship belt was another
actually,
picture.
My dad was holding AEW
on his mantle. I was like, Dad, what's AEW?
But I could also see him being like, I had to leave because I asked Tony if we could reverse the stipulation for the world title because I wanted to win a world title for my dad, and Tony wouldn't. And that's when I knew you didn't believe in me, Tony. But now I'm back to prove you wrong because I'm going to win the title. Like, I could see him, like, you know. He lives in his own world. I got to give him credit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
like people always like shit on people that live in their own world. Here's the thing about people that live in their own world. That this is true about this girl I know. They constantly get their way and do what they want because they don't accept any other reality but their reality.
Yes.
Like, and there was this girl I knew, talented actress, nice person. She only hung out with actors. She only was interested in puppetry, and she's making money being a puppeteer. She was rude to a lot of people on the way, but wait,
do I know her?
No, you don't know her. But you didn't know her at all. But, like, she lives, and I used to say this girl just lives in her own bubble. But that's the thing about when you live in your own bubble, you just get your way. It doesn't matter. And that's what Cody's doing. He's just living his own reality, but he's making it happen. WWE has to cater to him now. Which I think is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Well, good show. I enjoyed it. You guys should watch it and definitely check out that video of Cody telling that really funny story of CM Punk calling himself the locker room leader.
Yeah. Guys, tomorrow is the final night of WrestleMania week. Don't let anyone tell you it's not. And I will be covering NXT with Kyle. And then we're done. Night six. We might be back on Friday. Probably not. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.